Hi, everyone. My name's Hyla. I'm an alcoholic and a drug addict. Thank you so much for having me. I mean, I got this. I did get that the last minute invitation, and you just, you know, say yes. It's interesting. This is it. The way that this program has changed my life in such a fundamental way is pretty astounding. So I think that I'll get there at the end. And I think you'll see, I'll be able to sort of illustrate the process that I went through, and then explain why it's so important actually today. So what it was like, so I grew up, in New York, in Queens. It was my brother and I, and my, you know, I grew up with a family of artists, and my brother and I were just a couple of years apart and off to the races, like real young, you know, like we were just bad kids, you know, like behavioral issues. We would run around the streets and you know, torture our neighbors. And it was sort of like this competition, like who could get the biggest who could outsmart, you know, the neighbors and not get caught doing bad shit. Anyway, I think that the symptoms of alcoholism presented themselves pretty early in my life. And I, you know, certainly rules didn't apply, you know, they just didn't. And my brother and I, we ended up moving to Los Angeles when I was 10. And I started, you know, using drugs and alcohol when I was 14. So I started really young, you know, in those years that your brain is still developing. You know, I certainly I can't imagine, you know, the impact. So basically all those coping skills and you know, the book of life, I missed all that shit, missed it completely. I started getting in trouble pretty quickly. It was very apparent that I had issues. I, you know, the security guards at school fucking knew my name, you know, and, I started, you know, there's a lot of drugs in my story. In fact, it all started with drugs, but you know, lots of acid, and ecstasy and, you know, sneaking out in the middle of the night and hitchhiking when I'm 15 years old to these underground clubs in Los Angeles. And, you know, just, you know, I just, my God, I would hate to have a daughter like me. Cause it was just terrifying. I just didn't have any, I was covering something up. I was checked out, you know, getting kicked out of schools. I ended up finally, going to a continuation school and, which was an independent study and barely passed high school. And I had, you know, done so many drugs and sort of still managed, I thought that I could just play around with heroin, you know. I was I'd done all this other stuff without too much consequence. So I'm gonna check that out. And that was a beast, you know. And that's when it really started. I'd graduated from high school at that point, and you know, I was a sliver of a human being. I was a shell. I lost my spirit. And I had no, there's no fucking around that shit is just stronger than me, you know? And I, somehow woke up one day and thought, God, you know, like, okay, I'm going to fuck it. I'm going to die. Like this is getting bad. And I ended up moving out of Los Angeles for a little while. And, you know, I did manage to, get off of the heroin by using all other sorts of drugs. Like I just, you know, and I had left like my parents and all of my friends out there. And, I just didn't, it took like 6 months to get my personality back. You know, I was just I didn't know who I was. So when a friend approached me one day, it was like 6 months after, I had stopped doing heroin, and he said, well, Hyla, maybe it's a, you know, maybe you can start smuggling drugs for us because, you know, that could be a good idea. And I thought, fuck, that is an excellent idea. You know, like I need to start doing this shit. I'm gonna be invincible. Like I was addicted to that shit. And I started, smuggling, you know, cocaine on, from the LAX airport, like into Honolulu. And they would, you know, put me up. I was doing shit that I should be in jail for a long time. But I had nothing to lose. You know, I didn't care about my life. And I would needed that thrill of being invincible to fucking wake me like step fucking intensity. And I thrived off of that. I got high off of it. And anyway, that happened, you know, that was a while in my early 20s, and people started getting, you know, arrested. And I thought, oh my God, like I'm going to get in a lot of trouble, but I wasn't doing heroin. So I was like, yeah, I got that. Like, I got this, like, you know, very questionable decisions. And when everyone started getting arrested, I was like, I've got to go to school. Like that is the, like, I need to go to school. And so, you know, I stay busy and not like, I mean, I can't affiliate with these people. And I started going to this community college and, just like fucking around. And that's when I started taking, medication, like, Vicodin. And, you know, it wasn't heroin, so it was okay to take, you know, 30 Vicodin a day. You know, it was like, it's not heroin. Like I'm okay. And somehow I ended up, doing really well in school despite like being completely checked out. And I'm a first generation college student. I ended up, transferring into, UCLA, for their psychology program. Cause I thought, you know, okay, that is what I need. I need to figure myself out because that's going to fix me. If I learn about all this, like the, you know, abnormal psychology, like I'm going to get better. That's the answer. And by that time I had already gotten my first DUI in Los Angeles. I had, overdosed, you know, like I was already, I had been court ordered into the program, in my early 20s. And, you know, by the time I was 24 and I was going to school, I was like, fuck, this is my chance. Like I've got to do this. So I actually willingly, went to AA when I was 24 years old. And man, I tried, you know, I tried, and I just, it was very apparent. Like I was sick without, like, every day, despite like all these amazing opportunities. Like I just, you know, I was just blowing shit because I was so sick. I was so sick, you know. So I graduated from UCLA, and I was you know, snorting lines of OxyContin in the bathrooms. And I don't know how I ended up, surviving that, but I got through it. And, you know, ended up working at this hospital, which is a pretty prestigious hospital in Los Angeles. I got a job as a surgical coordinator, and you know, next to me in my office was a pad of signed prescription pads, you know, from the doctor, because I would be giving that shit away to the patients, right, when they would come in for their pre-op exams. And so, you know, I started, I was like, I can call in these prescriptions for myself, you know, just fucking like felonies. Like I'm committing, I've been given all of these opportunities and I am going to fucking blow it all, because I'm in such a fucking deep delusion. Like rules didn't apply. So I started, I was in and out of AA. I was introduced to it at that point, and I saw people in the program and I saw the light in their eyes, and I was like, I don't fucking trust these people. So I think I need to get on medication, because that's going to fix me. So I started seeing a doctor, and he put me on antidepressants and a slew of other medications, one of which was an opiate blocker called Suboxone, because I could not resist stealing the meds from the pre-op patients and calling. I couldn't stop. I couldn't stop myself. And I knew, like, I needed something. Okay, so maybe if I take Suboxone and I try, like, I won't feel it. So maybe it was like this behavioral block. I was still controlling shit, right? And I ended up, so I started Suboxone and several other, you know, I was taking Adderall and Ativan and several other medications, because that was going to fix me. Because I'm not an alcoholic. I don't have a drug problem. Like, I need all of these pills because I'm just fucked in the head, you know, like I'm chemically imbalanced. This is physiological. So by the time, it's like 6 years later, I'm in a room. I've lost my job at that point. And there's another DUI, and I've had 4 grand mal seizures because I've been taking so many pills, like taking tramadol while on Suboxone. And I find myself in a room cutting up my face in this drug-induced psychosis, because I've been abusing the Adderall, and I am unable to stop myself. I just cannot stop doing this. Like, I was cutting the pain out of me, like creating wounds. I can say, like, help. I don't know, something hurts. And I didn't know how else to express it. So finally it's like, okay, she needs to go to rehab. Like, this is not okay. They had me on antipsychotics. I couldn't stop, you know, I couldn't stop. So I went into rehab, and you know, I got 30 days, and they ended up taking me off of the Suboxone, and that was worse than coming off of it. That was horrible. Like, that was a whole nother beast, and it took me a good, like, 45 days to feel human again. And they took me off of the Adderall, and, you know, I remained on the antidepressant, you know, I had those seizures. So I was on anti-seizure medication. And anyway, I've got, you know, 45 days. I'm starting to feel human again. And then I get up to about 60 days, and they're like, you know, you should probably, you know, stay for 90 days. Like, and they've taken away all the sharp objects, you know, of course, because, like, I couldn't stop cutting myself. And I, what, you know, I'd, They were highly recommended that. And all of a sudden, like, I get this phone call. And, you know, meanwhile, my brother has been living in Texas, in Austin. And he's running an underground poker ring, you know, and has been for the past 10 years. And he's a fucking drug addict, too. You know, and I'm just the one that got caught. I was not slick. you know, I was getting arrested. Everyone knew. Everyone in my family, they fucking knew I was a troublemaker. Everybody, LAPD knew. Fuck the, you know, everybody knew. But my brother was fucking slick. He was covert. And he had this underground poker ring going out here, just fucking, you know, like he knew, like he had, we knew what was going on with him, but he wasn't ever in like imminent, you know, clear fucking danger like I was. And I get this phone call, and my brother has been driving around on his motorcycle, high on cocaine and drunk, and he's not wearing a helmet, and he's crashed in the middle of the night, and he has a catastrophic brain injury, and they don't know if he's going to make it. So he's in this place called Brackenridge, right? I'm like in fucking treatment, like locked up, like in Los Angeles, like fucking just barely feeling human again. And I'm like, get me the fuck out of here. I need to go live with my brother. I need to make sure he's okay. And I, 3 days later, I moved to Austin, and I, you know, they didn't know if he was going to make it. And at about 3 weeks later, they said he was going to be okay. You know, is he not okay, but he was going to survive. And I had to show up for my family in a way that I never imagined, you know, and that was my first experience with like a letting a power higher than, you know, greater than myself into my life, because I would had never had the strength to show up and, you know, make something so devastating, make at least one good fucking thing out of something so devastating. And that was to get sober and be there for my family. And, you know, at one point at about 8 months out here, and I didn't know anybody in Austin, but got into a relationship real soon. And, you know, and I told myself, well, fuck, you know, I am a drug addict. I'm a drug addict. That's for sure. You know, but I'm not an alcoholic. So I started drinking, and fucking within weeks, I was thieving my brother's meds. I was driving around drunk, you know. I've already got multiple DUIs. I've done jail time. It would be a felony. I'm fucking, you know, like, I was, let's see, at 7:58, because I want to get sober pretty quickly here. But I was so ashamed of myself. And I finally came into the rooms again. You know, this is after like 10 years of being in and out of the program and really meaning it, really meaning I wanted to get sober, and I just fucking couldn't. So I finally came into the rooms, and I went into like, fuck, it was like Cherry Creek or something. And I finally became willing. I said, please tell me what to do. I'll do it. Whatever you tell me. And I got a sponsor. And this time I worked all of the steps. I worked all of the steps. And, you know, I'm going to go through that process in a minute, but I have 5.5 years sober. And that is the only fucking difference between those 10 years of being in and out. Like, I would get to step four and fuck off. You know, and I wasn't willing to take any direction. Like, people ask me, what's different this time? Well, I did all of the steps this time, you know, and it's a fucking miracle that I'm alive. So I kind of want to go through what that looked like for me. And I've gotten till what, 8:20, Chris? Yeah, I think this is okay. So anyway, so admitting I was powerless, you know, over alcohol, and that my life had become unmanageable. You know, it was clear a long time ago, but I couldn't imagine life without drugs and alcohol. I couldn't even, you know, I felt like a creature in a fucking cave, and I would like look outside and see people outside smiling in the sunshine and think, like, I have no idea, how do they do that? Like, that was where I was coming from. And so being powerless, like, I think it that computed pretty, when I was pretty young, the difference was this time I was willing to do something about it, you know, and that was to accept help. So I kept on going. I really had hangups with, you know, step two, you know, believing a power greater than myself, you know, I could restore me to sanity. I always believed in something, you know, but it didn't have my back. You know, and I don't know if that was like shame or what, but that it was like, why was it, you know, that this happened with my brother and not me? Like, why am I alive? And I had to sort of, that had to sink in, and it gave me enough, you know, of a drive to keep going. And step three, I was like, I have no fucking clue what that shit means. Turning my life and my will over to a power greater than myself. Like, what? I don't, you know, but someone pointed out in step two that it was, you know, okay, if I would come to believe, if I continued doing all these steps, I would come to believe, maybe, you know, and keep turning my life and my will over, maybe just look like, fucking, I'm going to keep doing what you guys tell me to do. I'm just going to keep doing, maybe I'll come to believe if I do all of these steps. And I'm starting to see those lights in people's eyes, and I'm starting to actually trust them. Like, maybe I do want what they've got, you know, like, I've exhausted every other option. So let's just keep going with this. So step four, you know, the first round I had 180 persons, places and things on that list. I was so fucking resistant to everything. My existence was resistant to, I mean, I just reality in every which way. And I mean, I'd done these behavioral tests in this rehab, and they had said that, you know, I scored real high on, it was repressed anger and deviance, you know, and that was me. I was fucking angry. I was pissed off that I didn't get to fucking take my medicine anymore. You know, drugs and alcohol. I didn't, like, people that got to do that, I was like, fuck you. Why the fuck do I have to deal with this shit? But I didn't have a choice at that. It was like I lost my privilege to continue living that way. So I was just going to hang on. So I did, kept doing what they said. And I spoke with my sponsor, and, you know, that first round of doing the fifth step and talking through all that shit, my God, just some ugly shit came out. But I did feel a little relief, and you know, I would talk to people in the rooms, and I would share, and I was fucking angry, you know, in those shares, like, I didn't give a shit. And people would be talking about, like, God and their spiritual experience, and I'd be like, what the fuck, you and your pink cloud sort of thing. Like, I never had that. It was rough. But I kept going, and people would come up to me and they'd be like, God, I feel that way too. And I'd be like, really? Like, I'm not alone in this. Like, and that's when the trust just got grew more so and more so. And I started to rely on this. And meanwhile, I'm getting days and days, and I've got a job at this point. And I keep going, and, you know, certain things, I mean, I'm getting a little bit better at navigating life, and I continue, you know, reaching out to my sponsor. And step six, you know, the first time I thought, okay, become ready to remove these defects of character. I was like, I am fucking ready. I went into like a graveyard and somewhere in Austin at that point. And I was like, all right. And I like lied down on the ground. And I was like, give me, fucking take this shit away. Like it was like this, like, you know, like take this sickness out of me. And you know, that didn't work. I think I'd relapsed after I did it this time. This time I ended up writing out like all of my all the judgments I had about myself and all of these defects. And I did something with my sponsor at that point. We tried to do something significant, like burning the paper with all these defects. And I don't know, I was just ready for fucking anything. And so I went on to, you know, step seven and humbly asked, you know, for God to remove those defects of character. And shit, that did not happen overnight. You know, I had all of these preconceptions, like all those 10 years in AA before I did all of the steps, you know, that it was just life was going to be okay when I got sober. Like that was enough. Like once I get sober, I will have made it, you know, and everything's going to be okay. And that was not the fucking case. Like I had a lot of work to do. And meanwhile, I'm moving into to step eight and I'm writing out, you know, all the people that I need to make amends to. And a lot of them are, you know, in California, and a lot of the shit that I had done was very covert. And it's like, is this going to hurt to be like, do they really need to know that I was, you know, I don't know, you know, and I did end up calling people in Los Angeles and making amends. And I made amends to my brother and my parents. I didn't really have fear around that because everyone was like, girl, we're just glad you're not dead. Like Jesus, like, you know, like you just keep doing what you're doing. Like, this is amazing. You know, there's nobody that I talked to that I didn't have a good experience with. It wasn't necessarily good. It was just like, that wasn't supportive of my continuing to do this. Like how many people did I hurt, you know, and for whatever reason, now I get to be an AA and work with drug addicts and alcoholics to help them to bring them through the steps now. And I guess that's fucking payback, right? You know, maybe that's my amend. To all those people, I don't know. You know, I don't know who I fucking hurt. But I owe it to them. You know, should I ever come across some of the people that I was doing covert shit with, I owe it to them and to myself to continue doing this so I'm in a good place to fuck. If the time is right to, you know. I don't know if they need to know or not. But I think my higher power will let me know how I need to handle that situation. I have faith. So keep on going, you know, ninth step, I didn't make the amends, 10th step, you know, I'm continuing to do inventory. And meanwhile, I'm still working that job and I get into graduate school and I'm, you know, I ended up as a result of this program getting my master's degree in like the first 3 years of sobriety, while working full time and going to meetings and sponsoring people. And man, it was, there's no fucking way I would have been able to do all that. No way. You know, I'd be dead, you know. Step 11, you know, my sponsor had told me, like at one point I got up about 4 years of sobriety and I'd you know, done all the steps at that point, but like I was not, it was so hard to like sit still. And I finally, like the game changer with me, you know, as far as step 11 goes, was actually having the willingness, despite not really coming to believe yet. I didn't know, but I was willing to sit there and listen. And I started every morning for 10 minutes. This is just what I do. Like, I say a prayer and I fucking listen and ask, you know, for the willingness to be open-minded, to let this higher power, you know, provide guidance to me and, you know, thy will be done, not mine. And I don't know what that is yet. I don't know, you know, it's so hard to even fathom, but I tell myself sometimes, like, this fucking program doesn't work. I'm not happy. Like, I'm not happy all the time. And it doesn't work like that. Like, the evidence is I'm alive. And, you know, now I'm able to work with God at step 12, you know, work with these women that, you know, for all of those years, all of those drugs, all that fucking brutal experience, right? Like, not being of, like, this chronic relapser label I gave myself as a justification to continue doing that bullshit. Chronic relapsing is bullshit. Stop using that. That doesn't have, that's a fucking, it's a cop out. I used it as a cop out to continue to eject myself into my bad fucking ideas and I don't know where I was going with that, but man, I've since been able to, like, use that experience to help others in a way like I never dreamed I would even be capable of doing. Like, I thought I had nothing to give, nothing. You know, I fucking failed AA. And, you know, in all of those times when I was in and out of the program for as long as I was, like, I would tell myself, you know, I AA doesn't work. You know, it's not keeping me sober. AA doesn't work. But the truth is, like, I wasn't working AA. I wasn't doing it. You know, and that is the only fucking difference this time. I've worked all the 12 steps and now, you know, I'm at 5.5 years sober. We're in a fucking global pandemic and I'm, you know, on the phone with sponsees, bringing them through their 4 steps. God damn, that shit, man, has saved my ass. Like, oh, all the bullshit that I hear, and I can look people in the eyes when I see them and say, God, I get it. And this program fucking works. Like, I don't know how. I don't know. You know, and I'm now, you know, I'm actually getting off of the antidepressants. And I don't, because I'm trying to, like, I'm done. And this has been wicked, getting off of these things. And you have to work with your doctor if anyone's on antidepressants to get off of this shit, because it's fucking brutal. But I'm starting to, like, have feelings again, and I'm, like, redoing the steps. Like, I get to have a whole new experience with this. I'm actually, like, feeling, like, today, and this was, like, what I brought up at the beginning of the meeting, like, I get to use AA, I get to use these tools to, like, further, like, fucking, you know, discover who I am and what my fucking potential is. And I've got a pretty damn good job now, you know, which is great, which is all because of, you know, this program. And, you know, there's fucking ups and downs. Like, there's some days that, I don't know, man, it's just that I know now that those days pass. Those really rough days, they pass, and they always change, and things get better, and then they get worse, and then they get better. And, you know, but no matter what, and whatever the situation is, whatever the crisis is that I'm going through at the moment, there isn't any one time that I can't find someone in the program, in this fellowship, that's been through the same fucking thing and stayed sober, that I can't talk to. you know, and when I work with my sponsees, I don't fucking tell them, you know, what to do. I just tell them like what I did. And if I don't have experience with their issue, I find someone that has and we get with them. That's what, who we are in this program. You know, like we help, I've got this network of people that I can't even imagine not being, you know, having this support system in my, I don't know how normal people get through fucking life. Like I feel so blessed, to be part of this. And I never knew what gratitude was. Like I fucking, you know, like I just, and I'm learning and it's changing for me. The terminology that we use, like what is, you know, selfishness and dishonesty. Like I, that shit still happens on a daily basis. Like I got to fucking call myself out on that shit and try to get better because, you know, that these defects of character aren't fucking removed immediately, some of them, but we have the opportunity to look at them and see how they present themselves in these tricky ways. And we get to, you know, go into the program and talk to other people about how they're dealing with it and, you know, take suggestions and not just fucking listen to people, actually take the suggestions, you know, it's action. It's and also, you know, as far as like faith and coming to believe, like, you know, I was told that faith, having faith is an action, you know, and despite like not getting what I want all the time, you know, knowing that what I want may not be good for me. So I'm open, you know, I'm just trying to be open and get okay with what is, because this is what God's will. If it wasn't, when I'm in my will, like that shit, like, oh God. And it was real hard to distinguish between my will and God's will. And now I just have to get right with what is and keep saying yes, you know, and do this shit every single fucking day, you know, and I've found that, you know, people with time in the program, I used to sort of put them on a pedestal and some people with time, they don't, that doesn't mean anything. It's the people that are working this shit that I want to stick around. You know, those are the people that I'm learning from. And we've been able to just stick to fucking together throughout this crazy shit that's going on in our external world right now. And like, somehow we're all still here and I get to do this shit like tonight. And I'm just, fuck, I wish the rooms were open, you know, but thank God we got the Zoom thing going as well. And, I'm honored to be here to be able to step in. And, you know, if you guys choose to let go and, you know, do what the people in this program suggest, like if this is real, if you're really an alcoholic, if you're really a fucking drug addict and you admit that to your innermost self, this shit works. I don't know fucking how, but it does. It just fucking does. I am evidence. You know, I think I got 1 minute. So, I hope I get to see you guys in the rooms and I hope you take a chance for yourself. Just do all the steps and then make a decision. Do all the steps. I challenge you, you know, then you make a decision one day at a time, but do the fucking all the steps and then see what happens. All right. I think that's all I got. I'm just thank you so much, Chris, for having me. I hope I see you guys around the rooms and yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Hella.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was awesome. It's a great share. Great advice. Thank you so much.
Such a dynamic person. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.